All right. Well, first, what I'd like to do is to, since we are, we're getting a little smaller, and I knew that that was going to happen when another class started, so, and that's, in some ways, it makes it even more intimate, so I would love to just go around real quick and just say your name, and then, and I think it would be helpful again, just to hear how many children you have and what their ages are, and that just gives us a good context of what different stages that people are at, or grandkids, right? Yep. So we can talk, Mike and I can both talk about our adult children, but now we're starting to, well, he is more immersed in the grandchildren stage as well. So just for myself, I'm Greg, and I work on staff here at church in counseling and care. I'm also serving as a ruling elder, and we have three adult children, 20, 29, 26, and 20, almost 23. Terrific.
I'm Isaac, my wife Kelly. I think it's in the nursery. She's doing something for Sunday school. We have two boys, 6 and 3.5.
Tracy West, I have
2
children,
7, and then 2 twin 5-year-olds. Lord bless you. Five and 2.
I'm Katie Robinson. We have 2 boys, 6 and 3.5, and a daughter who is 7.
It's funny how the... It's funny how when the youngest, you know, we kind of like, how old are they again, you know? What's their name again, you know? Terrific. Well, thank you all. It's great to just have a lay of the land here in seasons. And so thank you all for being here, and look forward to discussing more and talking more about this great topic that sanctifies us as much as our marriages do. Oh, Nicolette, I'm sorry. You were hiding behind there. Didn't hear you yet. Yeah, so Nicolette, tell us again how many children you have. 12 million, okay, and give me each of their ages. No, just kidding.
Liam will be 10 this month. The twin boys are 7, Chad and Liam. Dazra's 2, and Charlize is 2 months.
Got, okay, so I got 10 and 7, and then I heard 2 months. I missed the other ones. What was the other
2 years.
Ones?
2. So Chad and Liam are twins, so they're both 7.
Okay, so 10's,
5,
yeah, 10, 2, 7, and then 10, 2 sevens, and then 2 months, right?
It feels like it sometimes.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, very cool. All right. Well, let me go ahead and open us in prayer. Lord God, thank you for the opportunity again to gather as friends and family here at Covenant, and Lord, to talk some more about parenting, and Lord, just how our families of origin have impacted us, and what some of the foundational truths that energize our parenting, and Lord, I do pray that you would use this time to glorify you, and use this time to grow us deeper in our dependence upon you and in our interdependence upon each other. And Lord, that we might love our children well, know them well, know ourselves well, Lord, so that we can love our kids well. And so, Lord, we give this time to you now and ask you to bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. I think as we were starting to begin our transition, we've been talking a lot these first 3 weeks about a lot of foundational things. I've talked to a few folks in the class over time, and I know they're like, "Well, Greg, when are we going to get to parenting?" You know, it's like, "Well, we are actually getting very, very close to some of the very specific kinds of behavioral things that we can do." And strategies to take with our kids, and but have felt that some of this background is so crucial as we go in, because you know I think just even in, as we've talked about the brain some, when it comes to change, again if we're operating from the idea that out of the heart, the mouth speaks, out of the heart we think, out of the heart we act, out of the mind we act, we think, we feel. All those aspects of us. And actually, I'm doing this from the heart, but actually, the heart is actually up here. We've kind of defined that. It's our thoughts and our feelings, and our executive center here, the prefrontal cortex. And so, so if we start with behaviors, right? Only then we're looking at change as occurring based on, well, we used to do this behavior. And now we want to do this behavior instead, right? And there is a lot of credibility to that. You know, if you do something this way and it's not helpful, well, we need to find another way to do it. But if we only focus specifically on the behaviors, then what happens is that we disconnect from ourselves a little bit, because everything that we do is energized in some sort of purpose. We all have learned relationship in our families of origin, but we've also learned it outside our family of origin, you know, coaches, bosses, other relatives, extended family that maybe are more emotionally aware than others and more relational. We wanted to spend these first few classes just really trying to understand at least a taste of the impact that our families of origin have had on us, because that does greatly influence the way that we operate as parents. And so then as we talk about behaviors, having some of this background really helps. Not only these behaviors that I'm doing that I want to change, I don't just understand them as being right or wrong, but I understand even why I do them and why I'm often automatic pilot in doing some of these behaviors. And that's because of, again, what the brain has been taught in your own family of origin. So anyway, with all that said, so as we move into, so we're gonna be closing up some of that part, and then starting to get more and more into more of the specifics of behaviors and skills that we need to learn that we maybe didn't learn, and we've talked about that some over the last couple of weeks as well. So the last week, we spent a lot of time talking about essentially how the vast majority of us in this room, okay, have essentially not used our right brain a lot. Okay, so I think I made the comment, the research of about 75% of us have not grown up in homes where we have learned to be self-aware, learned how to self-regulate, learned how to talk about about what goes on internally inside. So, you know, how do you feel? You know, Vicky was here last week. She's home with a headache right now. But last week, she talked about how generally in her life, no one really took an interest in asking her what she felt or what she thought or what she might even be. You seem lost in thought. You know, what are you thinking about? What are you reflecting about? In other words, and so in the sense, if we think about the parts of the brain as being like muscles, okay? So those of you that maybe work out, okay, that right brain is a muscle. And when you go out, when you go to the weight room, you are doing this or you're not doing it, okay? And so what we can say is that 75% of us generally have done this all of our life, but this part has really not been exercised very much, okay, in terms of being able to be aware of what we're feeling, what does it look like to talk about what we're feeling, to talk about what's inside of us, to generally be reflective and contemplative, because essentially growing up in our home, that muscle was not exercised, okay? So when this muscle is not exercised, it doesn't disappear, okay, because all of us have that part of the brain. But essentially that muscle kind of atrophies, okay? And it just kind of, it's almost like the wires are there, but they just sort of just become disconnected. But they're right there, and at any point they can be connected. So it's not, again, we haven't been determined, but we simply have been impacted. And that impact of maybe not having that part of us pursued, exercised, and actually lived out in our lives, then it's often disconnected there. But the beauty of it is that through sanctification, through God's providence and sovereignty of bringing us around others, I have second fathers everywhere. I have second mothers everywhere, because all of our parents have missed the mark in some way or another. And the Lord in his kindness and graciousness has allowed us to come into contact and to build relationships with people that fill in the gaps and that have helped us to grow emotionally, even though we didn't grow that way in the home very much. So all that to say, there's a lot of hope there, right? So what we're trying to do and what we have been focusing the last couple of weeks is really trying to, okay, let's get that barbell out and let's exercise the right side of the brain a little bit, because again, presuming most of us have not had as much opportunity to do that, okay? And why do we bother to do that? And why are we still not talking about parenting? No, we are, because as a parent, you bring all of you to the table, okay? Or you bring a part of you to the table, okay? So if you're only bringing your left side of the brain, this is right, this is wrong, logical, you know, more problem solving, more fixing of things, okay, then we don't have relational skills that are happening over here. We don't generally have empathy. We don't have compassion. And again, if we're parenting without all of that, then children learn more that they're a problem to be solved or to fix rather than a person to be known and understood and heard, okay? And valued and pursued and loved, all of those pieces there. So I think everybody here will buy into that idea. You know, of course, relationship is a whole lot more than fixing and solving. But what can happen in our relationships is if this part of us is not aware or self-aware, then we will go to the path of least resistance, which is just going to be the part of the brain that was taught in our relationships and in our family of origin. So I hope all that makes some sense as a summary of where we're trying to go. So we don't want to be lopsided. We don't want to have this, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger sort of like, you know, big old here, and then just have this be atrophied, because you know, we're not going to be able to function well relationally in our marriages, in our parenting, if both of those pieces of us are not integrated together, and you know, both of those are doing their appropriate job, so to speak. Okay, so. Anyway, so that's an introduction of where we've been and where we're sort of finishing up with a little bit, and then getting into some other things. Okay, so just a couple reminders. So if we have been touched, we talked about comfort, okay, and again, we're talking about teaching children or teaching ourselves that right side of the brain. If we grew up in a home where we were touched for comfort, if we were held, okay, now, and I'm talking beyond being held as that infant or that year or two old, where, you know, all of us moms and dads, the moment, you know, a child bumps their head, you know, they're looking at us, they're running towards us, we're running towards them. I mean, it's just very natural we do that. But when they start to get older and be a little more independent, often what will happen is we'll drop off from that physical touch side of things. Oh, you know, they don't need that anymore. And actually, 18-year-olds, in fact, grown adults, we need touch for comfort. So it's not this sort of stage that you go through when you're little and then, you know, and then trash it, you know, when they can walk and be on their own. So when physical touch is present, when we are listening to our children talk and teaching them to express, you know, hey, you've got an owie, what happened? And, well, I bumped my head here, and asking questions and pursuing them and getting them to talk about that physical pain and what that feels like and just the impact of that. And when those things happen, it helps children to it exercises that side of the brain, and it helps them to feel loved and safe. Okay, so that's really early on in life, but it continues. The love and the safety, we are continuing to need those things even as we get older, because the world is a hard place. And there's lots of challenges and difficult things going away. So again, that's why those comfort questions, you know, memories that you have are so important to understand, and to understand how my right brain could be impacted by a lack of those things. And so it also talks, you know, it also, as I said earlier, just again, the Lord in His grace has brought so many other people into our lives to teach us these things that we're missing. And with that said, again, this is not about, we are not throwing anybody's parents under the bus at all, okay? We love our parents, we know our parents love us, but they all can only generally pass on to us what was passed on to them. Now, the exception, of course, is if they have grown and matured over their adult years, then they, of course, have more to pass on than they did, than what they were taught in those earlier years, you know. So you've got, there's a couple of factors, but generally John Keebler was here last week and he reminded us that the vast majority of grown adults are at an eighth grade level of emotional awareness. So that just kind of, that tells us, so all of us, me included, all of us have growth emotionally and you know, just with the way that part of the brain works. So the implications of that, again, just that, you know, why do some people have the ability to be such good communicators, and they don't just talk about thoughts, but they're able to tell stories, they're able to share, you know, some of the deeper things that are going on. It's, again, because they've grown up in a home or have had mentors or others or have been through counseling or have coaches that have walked with them in difficult experiences and drawn them out and helped them to put words to things that are going on. So. Okay, so that's a summary of where we've been and so picking up from there. So with all of that said, are there any questions just that you'd like to raise just about some of those things that I've shared? You know, there are big thick books written about everything that I covered in about 90 minutes, you know, multiple books on that. And so there can always be, yeah, but what about this and what about that, that kind of thing. But if there's anything hanging out there right now before we move on, are there any questions at all about that idea? Okay. Good. All right. And again, questions can come up anytime. They can be a month from now. They can be next week in my office, wherever they happen to be. So. Okay, so let's look at this this first slide here. Time unbelievably goes fast. All right, so another sort of a very proactive way, again, before we get into behaviors and parenting skills, again, knowing more about ourselves tendencies that we have, paths of least resistance that we tend to do, automatic pilots that we tend to do in all of our relationships, and specifically with our kids, okay? this first slide here, know what makes you prone to overreact as a parent, okay? That's where we're starting this morning. So I'm going to spend a ton of time on this, but let's look at some of these points here on the slide here. So try to determine what triggers you have with your children. Now, trigger is a word that is really hot right now, and its triggers are used in so many different circumstances, and so I don't want to cheapen that word because we've heard it so much. But the idea of a trigger is essentially anything that happens, anything that is said, anything that is done, anything that you see. That could be someone's look on their face. It could be someone's posture. It could be somebody's tone of voice. It could be, there are so many different things, okay? It could be a song you hear, all right? And a trigger is when any of those things I just described come your way. Most of the time it's a surprise. You know, you're just sort of like doing life and everything's fine, and then all of a sudden something happens, and then, you know, the temperature rises internally. And you start to feel a whole bunch of things, okay? You know, I feel really angry, or I just feel really, really sad. You may not even be completely sure what you're feeling, but you know that something, there's an escalation in what's going on emotionally inside of you, okay, when a trigger occurs, okay? And so often we do not know or explore, or take the time to explore what just happened. We know something happened, but often what happens is just there could be a stuffing of it, or there could just be, or we just get angry because we might be feeling a whole bunch of emotions that we don't understand or that we haven't talked about, and we don't know what to do with, again, and maybe, again, because we were in a family where when we were feeling things, hey, so what are you feeling right now? And so what happens is our body just sort of kicks in with anger, because anger is a protective emotion, and that just sort of helps us in our vulnerability to feel a little more in control, a little more powerful at that moment, and less weak and less vulnerable and less uncertain of what to do or what to say. And so so often it's the case when those triggers occur, anger is probably the most common thing that's there, but we also know that there are many other emotions underneath that anger, okay? And so, anyway, so with the trigger, so the trigger brings all these emotions to the surface, and what we need to know about triggers is that all of those triggers that occur generally are things that are unresolved in our past, okay? So what's happening is that something happens in the present, and it reminds us of something that is unresolved in our past, okay? And so there's a sense of in that moment we're triggered, and then we take a journey, and it could be, you know, light speed, and we're now in another time at another age and another space of time. And now, in a sense, we're disintegrated because our part of our brain just went way back in time and is reliving whatever they were reminded of by the trigger, if that makes sense. Okay, that makes sense? We're tracking so far? Okay. So we do that in our marriages, we do that in our relationships, and we certainly do it with our children, okay, where something happens, and so we're our child says something to us right now, and, you know, we're escalated, and instead of in a sober-minded state addressing whatever that situation is, we tend to be more reactive. Okay, our emotions kick in because now our emotions are not just responding to what's happening in the present, but they're also, what's the word I'm looking for, infused with that unresolved thing from the past as well. And so therefore our response, or I should say our reaction, is disproportionate, you know, to what's going on, because it's not just what your child did in that moment, but it's what your child did in that moment, but it's also what your mom or your dad or your coach or somebody or your sibling did to you years and years ago that has a whole lot of a freight train of emotional baggage with it. And so all of that comes to the present and joins what that instance with that child that triggered you. All right, so therefore, are, you know, in a sense, this side of our brain is so intense right now that it floods out so big, it floods out our ability to think clearly and to be sober minded and to be able to deal with that situation in a healthy way. We just get angry, we start yelling, or we throw things, or we just start giving commands to kids. Kids are like, you know, what happened? You know, this kind of thing. All I did was try to get my toy back from my little sister, you know. So why do we talk about all that? So triggers, it's very, very important that as parents, as we move into the roles that we're in right now, to have an understanding of what those triggers might be in us, okay? And every one of us has them. Not everybody's aware of them. And so just there's some steps here that I've written down here just as an exercise. And so I want to encourage you to, and I'll just walk through, make sure you understand what's here, but that's going to be something we're going to ask you to do outside of this class, okay? Because we want to move forward with some of the other things. But so the first thing, you know, I want to encourage you to write down what bugs you about each of your children, okay? And each of your children is different, okay? And let's be frank. Oh, what do you mean? Your children bugs you? Uh-uh. My spouse bugs me. I bug her, okay? So we all bug each other, okay? And so let's just be honest about it, you know? Doesn't mean we're going to tell our children, you know, you bug me when you this, you bug me this. No, but we are aware, and maybe sometimes we do that in those reactive moments, right? Okay, so the idea is we want to become attuned, because here we do not want to be disintegrated with our children. Okay, and so we're talking to them, and then we're triggered. We need, and then at that, when that happens with your child, it's probably best in those moments, depending on the intensity of it, to go. And hopefully, your spouse is in the other room, and you can maybe switch. Okay, because you're probably not going to be super helpful in that moment. Okay, and have y'all been to that place before? Okay, and maybe you've got a spouse who. We'll walk in, maybe you're talking, and then you hear this knock on the door, they stick their head in, everything okay in here, you know, kind of thing, and honey, you know, do you need a break, you know, this kind of thing, and that's a gracious gift when that happens, you know, when we are flooded and being triggered. But the point is we want to make those triggers conscious, okay? Remember, we talk about implicit. We don't want to be automatic pilots. So we want to take those emotional reactions that are happening to us when we're triggered, and we want to move from unconscious to conscious. Because now when they're conscious, we can have a choice. Wow, I know why I'm triggered right now, and I know why I want to, in my mind, you know what you're doing right now, you know, and you realize, okay, wait a minute, that's way over the top. And I know what this is reminding of. I need a break. Honey, can you just go hang out with our child for a moment here? I need a break. But again, when that is unconscious, we will just take off on automatic pilot. And we won't even be really aware of what we're saying, what we're doing, the damage that we're inflicting, all those kinds of things, okay? So. Oh, exactly. Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's where it's a regulation thing. Okay. You may not understand all of what's going on, but to at least understand that what does it feel like when you are escalated? Okay. So understand what's happening in your body when you're escalated. Okay. I feel like back of my neck is on fire, you know, I'm burning, you know, that's hot under the collar, you know, they talk about that word picture, okay, so you might be aware, the least self-aware people in the world understand anger, okay, and so I think it's a case of, you know, the answer to it would be that if you are aware that you are angry, the chances are you're not going to be super effective at that moment, and so anger, zip, and take a break of some kind, okay? And that might be just you telling the child, hey, time out can be a great option at that moment, and that's why we actually give timeouts. Why do we give kids timeouts? That's a very effective thing to do, because they're over the top emotionally, and so they need an opportunity for that emotional line to recede a little bit. So if you find yourself really angry, model to your child at that moment, zip, I just need, hey, I'm gonna go in the other room for a minute. I want you to sit and just think a little bit and relax. And I'm gonna go for a little walk and I'll be right back, and not like just disappear and like, where did he go? But you know, let your child know, and you're actually honoring your child at that moment to say, you know, daddy needs to talk to you about this, but we're gonna talk about this a little bit later. Okay, but for now, I'll be back in a few minutes. And then go out and then take some time to pray. Lord, I don't wanna go back in there, and I don't wanna be reacting back in that room. We need to have a conversation, which is my emotions as well as my thoughts. So that's a quick answer to that, and we'll get more into that later. But right now, we want to be able to understand what are those big reactions that are occurring on the inside of us. Okay, so you know, so you're taking the time to be reflective and contemplative. Okay, so what is it about Brady that just really bugs me or pushes my buttons? What is it about Kyle that pushes my buttons? Kayla, okay, Vicky, you know, and then she's doing the same thing. Okay, and so, and then to look at those things, okay, and then I want you, and then go to the very last page of your handout. Do you see soul words there? Okay, there are two pages of soul words there. And again, this is not a comprehensive. Actually, in the How We Love book, okay, this one of the resources I'm using is How We Love Our Children. In the How We Love Our Children book, that's what this list of soul words is from. In the How We Love Adult book, this list is a lot longer and more comprehensive. There's more, a greater vocabulary and greater comprehensiveness of different words. But so when you get to that point, when you think about those reactions, okay, at that moment, you want to take some time for yourself for a moment and then try to figure out what's going on inside of me. You know that you're feeling this incredible emotion, whatever it is, and it's not always angry, it's often angry, but it could be other things. And start looking, just scan through these words and look for words that just sort of jump out at you on the page that are helping you to identify, you know, what's happening emotionally and to give you a vocabulary for it. Again, so if you haven't grown up in that home where there has been the exercising of that muscle, then you often don't have a language for that part of your brain. And so this is a great way. It's the same way when you go to Mexico and so you take the a little book with you that tells you how to speak Spanish when you're there, because you just don't speak Spanish on a regular basis. And so to have this word, I have many, many couples and families that have the soul words on the refrigerator. And so whenever they talk around the dinner table together, they have conversations. And hey, so what was the best part of your day today? What was the hardest part of your day today? It could be those two simple questions while you're eating dinner. And those two questions right there exercise both sides of the brain. And then what was really hard that happened today? And they can maybe describe what happened. Well, you know, I went to the cafeteria and there were no chairs to sit with my friends. And I tried to get in and they just said, there's a chair over there. You know, and it was, you know, and that's what happened. But then, you know, maybe while they're telling that, accounting that story, they're looking down or they start to water up, you know, in their eyes, or, you know, and maybe they just, you know, all I wanted to do was just run away. Okay, so maybe they've given you that much, but then you can grab that off the refrigerator and you can sit down. Hey, look through some of these words. What are some of these words that resonate with you? Another word to use for a younger child, but you know, that sound like, you know, what might have been going on, how you were feeling. Okay, and of course, with our children, happy, sad, and mad, when they're, you know, up to seven, you know, you've got those four at least that you can go to. So again, the soul word thing, we're not talking about 2-3 year olds here. Okay, we're talking, you know, in general, but the principle is the same. We're helping our children, you know, to develop a language for what's going on inside. And so again, so back to you, what we're doing now is looking at our own triggers and what's going on inside of us, and then make sense of some of these words that we're feeling. And that's use the soul world, the soul words. What are these words that describe what we feel and what's going on, reacting, what we're reacting to. Then the idea of write what you'd like to say to whoever, you know. In fact, I think I might have left a step out here. Okay, so when you're triggered and you come to understand the reactions that you're having, and remember that reaction is based more in the past. It's something unresolved in the past. So now we want to, now that you're reflecting about the past, you're in the present but reflecting about the past. Okay, so when else did I experience similar emotions that I'm experiencing right now that my child has reminded me of? And then, you know, it's making some connections there. And then write down, okay, so what was going on in those moments and who was the person that was demonstrating? Who were those people as a child growing up? Who were those people that were triggering me when I was a child, okay? And then write down, you know, you're reflecting in the present on that. And so now, if I could talk to that as a child, as an adult now, if I could talk to that mom or that dad back then and give them sort of the raw, uncensored experience of what that was like for you, okay, that brings from the unconscious and from the past into the present conscious awareness of what you are now, how you're now likely responding in the present to your children that reminded you of that. Okay, that's a lot of this kind of stuff. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Okay, so, and you're writing down, why are you writing the uncensored rawness? Because that's the over-the-topness that you're bringing, okay? And that's what you don't want to bring to your children at that moment. You want it to make sense, and you want it to be helpful, and you want it to be honest, but not over the top. Okay, so then seeing that uncensored raw response that you've written down, that you experienced in the past, try to connect. Okay, so it's no wonder that all that baggage comes up here, you know, when it's back there. And so then you realize, oh, this is really my mom or my dad or a coach or a sibling that is what's energizing all of that extra emotion that's going on in the present. Okay. And so that is, again, we're trying to take those trigger responses from the unconscious to the conscious. And so having that awareness then gives us choice. And now we realize, no, wait a minute, I'm not talking to my mom or dad right now, but I'm talking to my child right now or to my teenager. And so I need to differentiate. Okay, that experience was real, but it was energized with that particular person back in the past, but now I have somebody different in front of me, and so that helps me to choose to put the damper on all of those things from the past. Okay, and then of course, if they're really, really intense triggers, it's good to consider talking to friends about it, to talking to other family members, eventually maybe even going back to that parent possibly and talking about it. It doesn't guarantee there'll be resolution, but at least be able to get some further understanding of it. Going to counseling, those kinds of things are how we can help to get healing and recovery from some of those areas where we have been triggered. Okay, so take a breath there. Any questions about what I've encouraged you guys to do with triggers in your past? Okay. All right. So let me, I'm going to go ahead and just read you an example, okay, because in some ways it can sound kind of ethereal. And okay, let's say there's a, all right, so you have, I'm just going to read it to you. I wrote it down here. So So this gal that we were working with, she had an 8-year-old daughter. Her name was Tara. So we asked, you know, so what bugs you about Tara the most? Okay. Oh, I can tell you exactly what it is. Tara is so ungrateful. I do so much for her, but it's never enough. Sometimes she doesn't even say thank you. And so that point gave her the list of the soul words. Okay. So how does Tara's behavior make you feel? I feel underappreciated. What else? I feel annoyed. I feel beaten down, mystified. How come? Tell me about annoyed. Well, it's because I put so much effort into pairing. Beaten down because she never seems satisfied. Mystified. Well, I'm not sure why I picked that. I think I'm confused as to what to do. And so then, okay, so what raw, uncensored words, okay, might they write down? Okay, and so she wrote down, and again, she's just sharing this with the person she's talking to, not to the person back in the past or with her child. I'm sick of doing stuff for you, you little ingrate. You don't even appreciate me. Now, and then the next question, who in your past did you want to say those words to? Okay, it was to the mom. Okay, it wasn't to the daughter. Okay, but she realized it, and the aha came on. So who made you feel annoyed, beaten down, and confused? My mom, she said in a whisper. To this day, I do a lot for her, and she can never say thank you. It's never enough for her, and I'm sick of doing stuff for her, but I feel trapped. So when her daughter is ungrateful to her, okay, it takes her back to all that baggage there, and so she is exponentially energized. You know, you have to say, you know, you better say thank you, or you are not grateful at all. That kind of thing. And so, and you know, Tara's probably just, you know, like, what's going on? You know, if that was her response to her. She were to say those uncensored things like that to her child, okay, it, you know, tremendous amount of damage there. Does that help you to just get a kind of a word picture of how somebody grows up in a home, and that was kind of what happened, a dynamic, and then we take that implicitly into our relationships and can often respond that way. So that's just an example of how we can, our triggers can live out in the present when we're not aware of them. So, yeah.
I think I was expecting it to be that was the message she heard from her parents, that she was ungrateful. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to that her mom is ungrateful. So there's kind of two different sides of the same coin.
Sure, yeah. We could have gone either direction with that story. It would still be a trigger.
Sure.
So both sides of the coin. That's good. So this is just the surgical way. So again, we don't want to draw general conclusions. Oh, so that means that if ever anybody is ungrateful, that this is probably what happened. No, that's their story, their specific story. But it's more we want to understand surgically and intimately, what does my response look like when I'm triggered in the present? Okay, and that's energized to some very unique, specific response that occurred in your own background. Okay? Does that make sense? All right. Okay. So in the last minutes here, we're going to move into the comfort circle now. So now we're starting to get into, like, wait, is this more and more about comfort? yes, it's about comfort, but it's about this comfort circle here is one of the most powerful tools that any family can use, okay? And it's not just for when there's problems or distress or when there's conflict, but it's also just helping, you know, with great moments and with great just having regular conversation and fun experiences, and remember, you know, just talking about, you know, the beautiful things in life, the successes and the fun things too. So the point is that this comfort circle, which we'll be talking about here, is used to help to see into the heart of your child again. So we don't want to just, you know, so what, you know, how was practice today? You know, what did you do today? Did you get your homework done? What were your grades? You know, did you clean up your room? You know, these kinds of things, which are more left brain kinds of things, but asking questions more about how did life, whatever life brought you today, how did life impact you? Okay, so that's going to be much more questions that exercise that part of the other side of us there. So the comfort circle here, so it's, again, trying to provide meaningful conversations and to provide when there is conflict or when there is a problem with you and your child, or for that matter, you and your spouse, to provide a roadmap to help you to mend the relationship, okay? So the idea is that problems, it's not if problems come up, but when problems come up, when conflicts, difficulties come up. Your child will face stress and difficulty in this world just like we do as adults. And so this comfort circle makes those difficulties, and these three words, I like the way the author did this, so bearable, repairable, and shareable. Okay, so again, having this roadmap takes these difficulties, rather than just overwhelming us, moving through this roadmap helps the situation to be bearable, repairable, and shareable. So, and it teaches our children, if we model these things, that people do cause stress. Okay, I love my wife, but our relationship is stressful sometimes. I love my kids, but those relationships are stressful. So we're being honest about that. We love each other, but let's be honest that relationships are messy and they're stressful. And so we're teaching our kids that people do cause stress, but they can also provide relief. Okay, because often we just think, oh, people are just, you know, they provide all kinds of stress, but they're not safe, reliable sources of comfort. Okay, and so that's where we go to everything but people. But God's design is an interdependence where we go to each other for comfort as well as for relief. All right, so we're going to take this. So you got seek awareness, engage, explore, and then resolution. All right, so we're going to take step one here, seek awareness. Okay, so verse of scripture, and I wanted to have more time here, but as always, Psalm 51:6, I'll just let you know what that says. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. Okay, so just, so it's not just a truth, and when we have conversations, I just want to have the facts, ma'am, just the facts, okay? But the truth in our inward being, that's in the heart. And so that's going to be the more the right brain side. That's going to be understanding feelings and emotions, okay? And we want both sides of the story. It's not like we don't want to, I know Brooke was here last week and reminded us, well, you know, in our family, it was all about feelings. So it's sort of like the feeling muscle was the one that was exercised all the time. And then the cognitive one was the one that became atrophied. So, you know, so that's a whole different scenario. But in this case, again, we're going with the vast majority of us that generally have not learned this, developed that muscle on the right side. So behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. So first step there, listen to your child's behaviors as a language, okay? So children generally, even teenagers at times, we tend to first be aware of what's happening nonverbally. Okay, there's, you know, they come in the door slams, you know, the backpack falls really hard on the ground. How's your day? Fun. You know, you hear this tone of voice, and it's like, okay, you know, you can, and you see their face, and, you know, and so they haven't said a word to you yet, but they've communicated 1,000 words to you, okay? And so, so that's why I say listen to our child's behaviors, okay? Because remember, they are not super verbal yet. They haven't become skilled at articulating what they're feeling. Their body just is responding and reacting to various things. And so so reflect on that behavior, and also thinking about, okay, wonder what could have stressed them out today. So, and again, you're not trying to read their mind, but you're just trying to help ease yourself into, okay, how am I going to talk to my child in this moment? Okay, oh, they had a test today, they had a tryout, or they got the results of whether they made the team or not today, or, you know, fill in the blank, okay? So listen to your child's behavior. Second, teach them to have words to describe their internal feelings and thoughts. So the comfort circle again. So we might take them back to those soul words at that point. If they don't know what to say, I don't want to talk about it. I'm angry. Well, you know, I think it'd be really good to talk about it. And it might just mean you give them these words. Hey, just take a few minutes and we'll talk in a few minutes. You know, look at some of those words there and see if any of those words resonate with you at all. And then the kids generally will come back and like, wow, you know, that's what I was feeling. I must have been really angry. That was that and that and that. Are you happy? You know, but they're now getting things out into the open. Some of that is coming out now. And again, for a toddler, start with those basic words, you know, happy, mad, sad, scared. Remember we talked about how fear and love, children understand those emotions even before they're verbal. Okay. But as children get older and they're able to start expressing things verbally, focus on those. So simplify that. So, yeah, sure.
So my 5-year-old, he has to have some very intense emotions, but he'll come home from school and he doesn't want to talk about what happened. You know, he'll say he's bad, like
sure.
Identifies it. But
yeah.
He's like, but I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And so I think a lot of it's knowing your child, you know, and some that are more introverted. I don't know. Would you say that this who says doesn't want to talk about it, how would you describe, are they verbal processor or are they more internalizing?
I think he's more internalizing.
Okay. So so again, I think at that point validate that, well, I'm sure something happened that probably again, if they're not going to say anything, it's hard to validate because you don't really know what they're mad about. But I think something along the lines of, okay, well, thanks for telling me that. And then knowing that, again, internal processors will need more time to stew on and to think through all of that. And so it's sort of like it's going to be a delayed response. Give them the opportunity to go back to their room and hang out in their room and, you know, do whatever they're going to do. They might play a game or they might just, you know, lay on their bed or they might just read a book. I don't know what, you know, every child's a little bit different, but they just want to be alone, okay? But we don't want to leave them alone. But we want to give them time. Again, if I'm just mad and they don't really know what else they're feeling or thinking, I'm just mad. And so give them time to cool down. Go to the back room or go wherever they're on their way to going when they come in the house. I'm just mad and they keep walking and go whatever, just kind of let them go. Well, thanks for telling mommy about that. And you might even say, you know, I hope we can talk about that later. Something like that. So you plant that seed. But there's no pressure at that point. Oh, you're mad? Okay, well, come sit right now. No, if you don't come right here right now and talk to me about why you're mad, you're going to get a spanking, you know? Because you're disobeying, you know. Now all you're doing is just piling on and making the situation worse. Okay, so just remember, as an adult, when you're mad and you're angry, the last thing you want someone to do is start telling you what to do. You just need to cool off. Okay, and so, you know, I would go out and chop wood, and I'd enjoy doing that. Does that help? Okay. All right. So seeking awareness, that's step one. Okay, so that means that you are attuned and your radar is up. Your kids come in and you are looking, you're taking in all of that feedback that you're being given non-verbally to sort of take the temperature of where they are. And then you're moving towards them and you know, and it might be that, especially if they're not angry and walk away, they might just come down and they just sit down and they just slump over, and then just to go and sit down with them. And you might put your hand on their back, you know, and or just, you know, on their leg or whatever, and just, man, you look like you had a tough, rough day, you know. Are you okay? What happened today? You know, and even in that, not what happened today, or like, what's wrong with you? You know, this kind of thing, but just, so when someone's escalated, you know, just that soothing voice, you know, when you pick up your baby, you know, and after they bump their head, you know, will you stop crying? You know, no, you just, oh, it's okay, baby. You know, you're being, the tone of your voice is changing. you know, and they hear that soothing thing and they feel your touch, and they it just helps them to dial down. And the same thing with your kids, you know, just they come down, you sit down, you know, hey, look like you had a rough day. Soft tone, touching them, and then trying to ask them questions that help them to put words to what they're feeling and they're thinking. Did you have a question, or did you?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, it looked like you had one of these things. So I read the nonverbal, and I was wrong, right? So, okay. And then utilize the soul words list to help. Okay, again, age appropriate. Okay, all right. Got to think about that. And then try to point out the behavior when they're stressed. And help them express their feelings and their behavior. So something like that, you know, pointing it out, like, you know, well, you're a real jerk today. You know, that's not, you know, so not you statements like that, accusing kinds of things, but, you know, and in that same tone of voice, too. You know, hey, Jimmy, you know, you're usually quiet. You're usually quiet when something is bothering you. You know, what's going on? How can I help? Or, you know, so again, because you're aware of your kids, so your child comes home and tends to go to the room when they're mad, you know, to be able to just say, you know, hey, I can tell you're mad right now. It seems like you're mad about something. Would you like, you know, you want to take some time to be by yourself right now, something like that. And so you're acknowledging those feelings, and your child in that moment knows that you are seeing them. And haven't missed all of that data that came into the door, so to speak. Okay, so man alive, goes fast, doesn't it? Okay, so we'll work our way through the rest of the comfort circle, and then some other things, plenty more to come. But so yeah, between now and next week, though, take the time, if you could, to look at to work on that triggering piece that I gave you. And what are the times when you really are just, your kids take you to an escalated state, and see if you can't do some reflecting and some contemplating of what some of those times were. And then hopefully some of y'all can share some of those things with us next week. It could be really encouraging. So, all right. Mike, can I ask you to close us in prayer? Would you be willing to do that? Thanks.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we've had together this morning, Father. Greg has given us a lot of information, Lord. We pray that you would open our hearts and minds to it, to find the truth in it, Lord, and that we would push aside any barriers to keep us from diving into what he's teaching. We pray that we would honor you in how we react to the teachings and how we raise our children and grandchildren, Lord. We pray these things in Christ's name.
Amen. All right. I'll hang out if anybody wants to chew the fat. I'm sure everybody's got a place to go, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.